tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day today, right? Now, today, I want to do a deep dive in Jamaica, the Jamaican culture. You know what I mean? Because that's where I am from. I was born in Jamaica, but I was raised here in the United States. But I was born in Jamaica, but, you know, I still never forgotten my culture and my roots, right? And the reason why I decided to actually do this episode today, because of this young man called Ishow Speed, right? Never heard of him before. But my kids, they know who Ishow Speed is, right? But lately, for the past couple months or whatever, I was seeing him going on. First, he went on an African tour first, right? To try to bring Africa together, which, man, this young man, which I love, man. So he's doing some great things. And then he decided to go on a Caribbean tour. We go to all these different little Caribbean islands, right, across the Caribbean, and just to try out the food and everything. And actually, I was surprised, though, but I guess he, you know what I'm saying, from how the story goes, Jamaica won, right? Jamaica won the food test. And I was seeing online how a lot of Jamaicans are very happy because this young man, especially like the Gen Zs that out there, you know what I mean? This young man came to Jamaica and he immobilized those young folks out there in Jamaica, man. They'll say, oh, I mean, Jamaica was so happy that a man from America came there to mobilize him, right? And it also got me to wondering too about if the young man could mobilize thing in Jamaica, right? Because, you know, I'm in politics too. And sometimes I monitor the Jamaican politics, right? And how can these politicians out there in Jamaica can't mobilize the young people to get out there and vote? You know what I mean? So I had to look it up, right, for the past like 10 years. And, you know, within the past 10 years, right, only 39% of Jamaicans actually vote now. It went down. I think it was like a couple years ago, it was like 47%, 48%, something like that. And it went down to 39%. You know what I mean? I remember I went to Jamaica back in 2024. I went to Jamaica. And I asked my cousin, right? They can't pick me up from the airport and everything. We were just driving, talking. And I asked my cousin, I said, and friends too, right? Do you vote? Do you vote? They told me, no, they don't vote. Because those politicians only in Jamaica don't give a damn about them. That's what they say. This is Jamaica. You know what I mean? And then where do you even do a deeper dive, right? Jamaica is 97% black people in Jamaica. 97%! Black people in Jamaica, but yet the black Jamaicans own probably less than 1% of the wealth in Jamaica. They don't own their beaches, the hotels, all that stuff. Who comes to Jamaica and own property and own things? Although the Chinese, the Indians, and the white folks, right? They come to Jamaica and they buy up stuff, right? And Jamaicans don't own nothing. And to me, when I start doing these research, it's very sad to me that Jamaica is full of majority of black folks, right? But yet they do not own nothing major out there in Jamaica. You see what I'm saying? But one thing I would say that what Jamaicans need to stop doing, though, which I've seen a lot when it comes to not only Jamaica, but black Americans too, but a lot of Jamaicans do that. But they got something in Jamaica called bad-minded people, right? So is this like American who say you're a hater, right? And when somebody is doing something great with their life, they want to hate on the next person instead of trying to figure out how they could even do something just as great as the next person doing, right? Well, a lot of Jamaicans are like that too. Maybe Jamaicans need to stick together too, man. That's why, to me, a lot of Jamaicans, right, black folks in general, can't have nothing because they don't stick together. See what I'm saying? But this is about the Jamaican culture, man. The Jamaican culture, Jamaican roots, and all the good stuff, right? All right, let's go way back. Way back when, right? How they will tell the story again and again. MC Shan. Okay, so Jamaicans reggae, dancehall, and hip-hop, the origin of hip-hop culture, baby, and the reggae dancehall culture. Back in the day, think about it, right? In Jamaica, they got the massive speakers out there that energize the crowd, right? In Kingston neighborhood. I mean, dances. Dancehall people dancing out there, Jamaica with a big old speaker and playing the music and everything, right? Local selectors competed fiercely. This is one thing I love, right? I remember as a young teenager, in my late 17, 18, 19, 20, at the time, I had buddies that was actually DJs, right? Jamaicans. They were from Jamaica. Some of the folks were from Guyana. Excuse me. And these guys were DJs. And one thing, and see, back then, right? Even to this day, DJs, right? They used to compete against each other. Who had the best sound quality? All that came from Jamaica, right? The best sound quality. Who could move the crowd better? You know what I'm saying? One DJ, on the turntables, cutting and scratching while the maestro's talking trash, right? All the good stuff, right? Just moving the crowd, man. And I'm telling you, when you hear those type of things, it makes you feel so, so good. It's within inside you. Because you're seeing these two DJs competing against each other, man. And who are the best, who had the best sound, who can move the crowd better. You know what I'm saying? I witnessed that at the youngin with my buddies, man. You know what I mean? Moving the crowd. We doing house parties, and one sound is just rocking the crowd, other sound too, rocking the crowd. You know what I mean? See who was better. Those were the fun days, right? Sometimes you have like street parties, right? That created in Jamaica's unique musical identity. Street parties. The Jamaicans, you know what I'm saying? All that started out in Jamaica first. So I'm saying, man, when you think about it, those were some great times, right? The reggae music that carried powerful social justice and messages, man. One thing about the old school reggae, dancehall, right? Mainly the reggae started first, right? Because there's a difference between reggae and dancehall, okay? In reggae music, they actually sing, you know what I'm saying? With like melodies and keys and all the stuff, right? But in dancehall, I mean, dancehall, they go like the ballad, almost like hip-hop and everything. But it's both genres are good, right? Dancehall did derive from reggae music, man. You know what I'm saying? Back then, too, right? Reggae music challenged poverty, corruption, and political oppression openly. Think about it, right? You know what I'm saying? The reggae music, the dancehall, the lyrics inspired resistance and movement across multiple nations. Look at Bob Marley. Well, Bob Marley inspired a whole generation of people. Not only Jamaicans, Bob Marley inspired Africa. Matter of fact, Bob Marley was the very first reggae artist to sing in front of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. Think about that, man. A young dude from the ghetto of Jamaica, singing for the Queen of England. That's how inspiring that was. Like imagine, you were around then and you know about this stuff as a young man growing up back then, right? And you hear that Bob Marley is singing for the Queen of England. Man. I guarantee when a lot of Jamaicans probably heard about that back in the days, who was old enough to remember, because I was a young kid at the time. You know what I'm saying? Don't remember none of that stuff. But I was a young kid. But imagine you were the late teens, early 20s back then. And you hear that Bob Marley right, sang for the Queen of England. You know what I'm saying? That's a great, that's a good feeling right there, for real. You know what I mean? Bob Marley, one of the first to do it, to go to Africa and inspire a whole continent. Think about it. A whole continent. Reggae music did that. You understand me, right? Reggae music challenged oppression. People like Beanie Man, Buju Banton, Capleton, SZA, Lady Saw. Man, the list goes on of all these great legends, dancehall artists that talks the talk and challenge oppression through back in the 80s and the 90s, right? You know what I mean? When things not going right. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. A lot of them still had their street records too. It's okay. The street stuff, the bad, the, they call it the bad man music, you know? The bad boy music, you know, man? But the same bad man there, I sing the bad man music, are the same ones that's challenging the oppression. Right? They got one artist called Anthony B. Yeah, he got a song called Fire Upon Rome, right? And he's not talking about burning fire on people, right? But he's talking about in that song the oppression that has been done on black people from slavery, from slavery till now. This song came out in the 90s. Anthony B, Fire Upon Rome, right? And he's talking about how in Jamaica, the white man, which I never heard of the white man until he sang the song called Butch Stewart. The white man came to Jamaica and built hotels in Jamaica, right? Airplane, at one time, airline called Air Jamaica. For all through the 90s to the early 2000s, not there anymore though, but Air Jamaica ran Jamaica. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the airline back then, right? Butch Stewart, but his hotel though, called Sandals Hotel, is still there. You know what I'm saying? Butch Stewart is still there, dead now, but his family is running the company, Sandals Resort, right? That's what I said earlier about how, you know what I'm saying, these people from different cultures, they come to Jamaica, right? And they buy up all the property in Jamaica. That's what Anthony DeBee talked about in his songs, right? They buy up all in his song, buy all the property. But yet Jamaicans don't own nothing. They have no, a lot of them don't have no equity in none of those properties, right? None of those things. You know what I'm saying? Imagine Jamaica, right? Owning less than all the nice, beautiful beaches that Jamaica has, right? But they own less than 1% of the Dagger Beach. And Jamaicans, you know what I'm saying? Live at the beach a lot, especially if they live close to the beach. They go to the beach all the time. You understand me? But they don't own less than 1%. And to me, that's sad. Things gotta change, man. The Jamaican government needs to do something better. Take care of the people that was born there. You know what I'm saying? The black folks that was born there. I mean, don't get me wrong, they can't neglect other people too, but you gotta take care of your people too, man. You know what I'm saying? The government needs to do that. Take care of the damn people. All right? Okay, think about it, right? Dancehall music reflected harsh Jamaican street realities, right? Street music. When we go back to like the 80s, man, like people like Major Mackerel, hardcore street guy. People like Ninja Man, right? These are some hardcore street dancehall reggae artists, right? Who else? General Degree. Who else? We had Pinchas. He was more of a reggae singer. You know what I mean? But these artists, you know what I'm saying? We had Admiral Billy. We had Pinchas. Excuse me. So many great reggae artists. We had Yellow Man, right? I think in the 80s, after Bob Marley, right? Because Bob Marley died in 82, right? And then after Bob Marley, Yellow Man, he was the biggest artist in Jamaica in the 80s, right? He called himself the King of Dancehall. And this is an ugly mofo, boy, I tell you. But he was a very popular guy, though. Yellow Man, trust me, man. This dude were very popular, calling themselves the king of dance all back then. So I remember 20-something years later, when Beanie Man started calling himself the king of dance all, because Yellow Man's still living, of course, right? Yellow Man had an issue with that. Right? No. Yellow Man, it was in the 80s, right? Beanie Man from the 90s to the early 2000s. So in 2004, when Beanie Man came up with the song, the king of dancehall, Yellow Man didn't like that because Yellow Man feels though he's truly the king, right? Which I got to say something about that. But every artist, I don't give a damn if it's reggae, hip-hop, country music, whatever, right? Every artist have their time. It's time for the younger generation to come up too, right? Now, the new king of dancehall is Vybz Kartel. I mean, I'm going to get back to that later when it comes to these young artists, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. You know what I'm saying? So dancehall artists document violence, survival, and neighborhood struggles, right? One thing I love about reggae, just like hip-hop, I love when these artists talk about the neighborhood in their songs, where they are from. I love that, man. I love that. You know what I'm saying? Because you get a vivid picture of the neighborhood, man. You see what I'm saying? Of the area without even being there. You know what I mean? Trust me. And some of these artists, whether it's hip-hop or even reggae music, right? When they talk about their neighborhood, and some of them talk about how violent the neighborhood is, I said, nope, I ain't going there. Not me. I ain't going there. I listen to the music. I love the music, but I ain't going to that damn neighborhood. Hell nah. Not me. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing, though, man. That's the thing about music, though, man, that I love. You know what I'm saying? When the artists talk about the great stuff, right? The fashion, the dancehall fashion. Talk about the influence generations, man, throughout global black community. Dancehall. When it comes to fashion, I got to give it to Jamaicans, man. You see what I'm saying? Between Jamaicans and black Americans, right? When it comes to fashion. Because no one do it better than Jamaicans and black Americans when it comes to fashions. I'm telling you. Because whenever we step out the door, at least in Gen X, I don't know about this new generation though, man. Because sometimes I've seen some of the way some of our young people dress today. And I'd be like, oh God, not me. You know what I'm saying? If I got to step out my damn door, right, I'm going to look sharp. I don't give a damn if I'm going to Walmart. If I'm just going just to the damn grocery store, I'm not going to wear no damn pajama pants. You know what I'm saying? Hell nah. You know, back in my day, right, when we step out the door, imagine, right, you go to a store, you might bump into one of your homeboys, right, one of your homies. And, you know, you probably haven't seen a homies in months. That's about to let you know. And right to your face, they're going to talk trash about you. Trust me, man. I remember there one time, right, I was down on my luck. I was broke. Couldn't have afford no damn clothes at the time. You know what I mean? And these guys, man, that I knew, I've seen them in months, though, man. All right, let's all just talk trash, man. You know what I'm saying? They will clown you. They will clown you to their face. I'm telling you. Right? That's why, you know what I'm saying? But today, in today's time, it ain't the same, though. When it comes to, like, fashion and all the good stuff, right? Now, let's talk about hip-hop for a second, right? And the origin of hip-hop. Kool Herc introduced Jamaican traditions into hip-hop. Kool Herc, a 50 at the time, he's in the 60s now, maybe close to 70. But at the time, a 15-year-old kid from Jamaica, been to America when he was like 10, 11 years old. Kool Herc, remember that name, Kool Herc. His sister, for how the story goes, right? And this was in the Bronx, New York. I guess his sister wanted to throw like a party. You know what I'm saying? To sell some stuff, whatever. Kool Herc was a DJ as a 15-year-old kid, man. Was a DJ. So he had the DJ equipment and everything. Had people at the party. And they started doing the mixing and the breaking and the breaks to the record. And then somebody got on the mic and started rapping or whatever on the mic in Bronx, New York in 1973. And that's how hip-hop was born. Called after the Jamaican man. He brought what he knew from the Jamaican culture. Because back then, Hip hop wasn't doing that stuff. There wasn't no hip hop back then. Back then, people wasn't doing that here in America with the big old speakers on the block. You know what I'm saying? Throwing black parties. Jamaica started that stuff. Not New York. All right. I love New York. Don't get me wrong. I've been visiting New York. Right. And all the good stuff. But Jamaican started that, the black party, right? With the big old speakers band and the damn DJ just cutting and scratching. Cutting. You know what I'm saying? And I remember when I was young, a teenager, right? I've always had a job, working Burger King, working McDonald's, all the good stuff, right? And you know, like, I love my music. So I had me the damn turntable, Kenwood, man. I love the turntable so much. You know, back then, the records were like $5. You know what I'm saying? You go to the damn record store, buy a damn record for $5. So I'll buy me a whole bunch of records, and I'll put my record on my damn, put a record on the turntable. I'll be trying to scratching, and I'll be trying to cutting. Man, I don't scratch up so much damn records trying to DJ, learn how to DJ. I gave up, man. I said, this ain't for me. DJ ain't not for me. So many records, man, I don't scratch up, but it was my damn money I wasted, okay? Back then, $5 for a record, that was cheap. You know what I mean? Trust me, I'll go there and spend maybe $20, $25, buy like five records. You know what I'm saying? Records, whatever. Be trying. But the scratching and the cutting was enough for me, right? Now, the Jamaican patois, right? Patois influenced global urban slang. And you know, just recently, patois is now an official language now. After all these years, patois is probably hundreds of years old, centuries old, Jamaican patois is, right? Because, you know, after doing slavery, if you know, I heard about the Maroons, the Jamaican Maroons, right? After they escaped slavery, they actually escaped and fought the English. You know what I mean? And they started creating their own language. You see what I'm saying? Because they wanted it to do with the white man English. So they created their own English, right? All the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Then saw expressions spread rapidly throughout the internet culture, man. Think about it, right? The internet today, the meme culture. I've seen so much Jamaicans dancehall music, right, on the internet. So artists you never heard of, man. The Jamaican language became fashionable among younger global audience. I'll tell you right now, I've been in South Korea. Being in the military. And at the time, I've seen a lot of young Korean men, young Korean guys, right? They dress like the black culture, like the black American culture. Some of them would have actually had their hair in cornrows, like the black men, young black men do. Some of these Koreans, right? And sometimes I meet them at the bar. And then I tell them where I'm from. I tell them, I'm from Jamaica, man. They'll be like, Wagwan, man. They was talking. And I love that stuff, though, you know what I mean? Tell them where you're from in the world, right? You tell them that you're from Jamaica, they're going to know Jamaica, no matter where you're from. See what I'm saying? In Iraq, where somebody Pakistanians I was working with, I'm from Jamaica. You know what I mean? Especially remember, I was a food service guy in the Army. And, you know, the cooks got to actually monitor the local nationals, right? On the food and everything. We got to monitor them. But every Tuesday, they cook for themselves, right? Whatever, some kind of curry. You know, be spicy though. And I would tear it up. And then they'd be like, Wagwan, Valentine, Wagwan, man. You know what I mean? Man, those were the days, right? Now, when you think about Jamaican artists, right? You know, how influenced Afro beats. Because even a lot of Afro beat artists talk about how reggae music, dancehall music, influenced them. Reggaeton, the same thing. How that influenced them. You understand me, right? Dancehall culture influenced everything. Fashion and entertainment worldwide. You know what I'm saying? The bright colors that dominated Jamaican dancehall, right? Artists in Jamaica popularized flashy jewelry, an extravagant personal lifestyle. All that started in Jamaica before hip-hop culture, if you didn't know, right? Global entertainers copied Jamaican swagger and performance energy. You know what I mean? We got big up Jamaica, man. You know what I'm saying? So when that young man, Ice Speed, came to Jamaica, I was glad that young man did that stuff, man. You know what I mean? I was really glad. Because this man, you know what I'm saying? He mobilized a lot of youth. Trust me, the Gen Zers and all the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Dancehall cultures influenced fashion, of course, while Jamaican music created global black culture pride. Black pride, man. Jamaican culture created black pride. Started out with the black pride from the 70s, the 80s, you know what I mean? All the good stuff, right? Jamaican music today, sometimes they say still dominates, right? But I got to say something about that, about the Jamaican music and the younger artists, man, in Jamaica right today. Just like when I think about like hip-hop, R&B in Jamaica, for the younger artists, they're no damn superstars. No matter, they got stars, but they're no superstars. Because right now, I can't even tell you, right? Any new Jamaican artists, reggae, dancehall, not many that came up within the last 10 years. I know Shensia, I think she could potentially be a superstar one day. Right? She's really good, right? She's really, really good. And they have another one called Coffee. Coffee, she called herself. And she's really very talented, but I think she lived more of a quiet lifestyle, which is okay. But them two right there, females, them two could be a global superstar right now. If their managers know what to do with them. Seriously. But other than that, you don't see too many Jamaican like the 90s when they had Sean Paul, Beanie Man, Budgie Banton, Sizzler, Capleton. You know, you see what I'm saying? Look at that. Five artists I just named off the top of my head, right? That was superstar in the 90s, man. That no matter where you're from, you're going to know these damn people, who these people are. You know what I mean? Especially being a man. He was the biggest from back then. Yes. Now, let's talk about Jamaican politics and political violence, which is darker part of Jamaica, right? The dark part of Jamaica. Political rivalry deeply divided Jamaican community historically, man, which saddened me. Supporters fiercely defended competing political party neighborhoods aggressively. Violence increased dramatically during heated election campaign seasons, right? Political loyalty shaped generations within struggling urban communities, man. Think about it, right? In Jamaica, sometimes you can't tell people who you're going to vote for. Back then, that might be the last time you vote, right? Which is sad to me. See what I'm saying? While these damn politicians is eating it up. And think about it, right? These politicians see how violent they do in election time. You better go out and vote and gonna take your ass home back in the day in Jamaica, because a lot of people would die. You see what I'm saying? And these politicians don't do nothing about it. But the same people that's unaliving people for voting, right? Those same politicians that don't give a damn about them, that they're fighting for. You see what I'm saying? Don't be calling you from one party. You know what I mean? Instead of people to go vote, exercise their right to vote. They would unalive some people back. That was back in the 80s and 90s. I really think today's time is different. Because the younger generations aren't as stupid, and I'm calling them stupid because they aren't as stupid as the older generations when it comes to those type of political violence, right? A lot of the younger generations, they aren't about that stuff. A lot of them today, and I've seen it online, they are all trying to uplift each other, man. The Gen Zers, man. See what I'm saying? I'm like, how are you going to kill somebody, right, for somebody you don't even know? I've always thought that that's the most dumbest shit I've ever heard, man. For people you don't even know, that don't give a damn about you. For the same people that's going to be living up in their big house while you're still living poor and nothing changed for your ass. But yet, you're gonna unlike somebody because you don't like who they vote for? That's stupid to me. I ain't lying. Now, Michael Manley, he changed Jamaican political conversations dramatically, right? Manley promoted, and he was one of the prime ministers of Jamaica from back in the day. So Manley, he promoted democratic socialism, supporting poor Jamaican citizens. His speeches energized working class communities seeking economic justice. International powers watch Jamaica political direction very closely, man. And you know who watch a lot very closely Jamaica? The United States of America. They watch Jamaica very closely. And when Jamaica is trying to do something, you know what I'm saying? America had to put Michael Manley in this place, which is crazy to me. They can't leave these damn countries alone, man. Piss me off. Leave us alone. Just like now, I just found out last week that Donald Trump don't appointed Karen Lake to be ambassador of Jamaica. Jamaicans don't want that nonsense. What's going on with the damn Jamaican government, man? Why y'all keep accepting that crap? You know what I'm saying? Leave these damn countries alone, man. Leave unless you're going to help the poor people in Jamaica. Leave them alone. Let them live their life. They don't want you to be no damn ambassador. Especially a white person. If you're going to be somebody, let them be a black person at least. Come on now. Let's talk about it. You know what I mean? That's the type of stuff that bothers me, man. Leave Jamaica alone. Leave these islands, these countries alone. They don't want to be bothered by nobody because you're not bringing aid to them. You see what I'm saying? Right now, don't get me wrong, though. This last terrible hurricane Jamaica had, a lot of countries did put money to help Jamaica, though. But it's still a struggle. There's still a lot of people all day in Jamaica still struggling right now because of that damn hurricane. You know what I mean? The hurricane don't mess up Jamaica really bad. It's probably going to take them like years, decades, to really get back to normal. Now, Edward Seaga, he represented different political economic philosophies, right? Seaga emphasizes capitalism and stronger Western international partnership, man. Western international partnership. Political competition intensified during difficult economic national struggles. Jamaica experienced severe ideological division between political supporters, man. You know, say we got Michael Manley, more of capitalism, almost like the Republicans. And then we have Edward Seaga with the capitalism. And we got Michael Manley, actually for the poor people back then. This was like in the 70s. You understand me, right? No, Cold War politics influenced Jamaican national development, right? America feared, listen to this now. America feared socialist influence spreading throughout the Caribbean nations, right? Jamaica became strategically important during global ideological conflicts. Foreign influence affected local Jamaican political decision-making process. Called when Michael Manley wanted to do something, take care of Jamaican people. Let's be honest with you. America and the CIA, they don't like that stuff, man. So they had to put Jamaica in its place because America's more powerful than Jamaica, right? But Jamaica doesn't have no army like America. You see what I'm saying? These damn countries, man, just won't leave us the hell alone. Let people live their life, right? Just like, and this is off topic a little bit, just like this African country, Burkina Faso, right? The damn leader is doing his thing. By the name of Ibrahim Traore, right? He's doing his thing right now. Take care of his people, make sure his people work and having jobs and stuff like that. And America's seen that. And I know, right, America at one point was trying to make the man look bad and they used another black man, a general from the army. that was part of Egypt at the time, right? Egypt, right? He was like a four-star general somewhere in Egypt. And he was talking trash about this man like he's crooked just because he's taking care of damn people. See? How America do, right? See what I'm saying? You see how America do? Leave these people alone, man. Let these people do their thing. They ain't bothering nobody. They want to make sure the people's taken care of. So I'm saying, eventually Jamaican voters, right, gradually lost trust within politics, man. Remember, I told you on the top of the show, now it's only 39% of people in Jamaica vote. Again, those, in those 39%, most of them are probably middle-class Jamaicans. I guarantee a lot of poor people in Jamaica do not vote. I guarantee that. You know what I mean? Because the Jamaican government, just like here in America, the Jamaican government a lot of times don't give a damn about the Jamaican people. Because if I believe if the Jamaican government really give a damn about the Jamaican people, they'll do the best. And I'm not even talking about the prime minister. I'm talking about people that's in parliament. The people that are supposed to represent their communities. You know what I mean? Those people, they go to work every day. They see the people struggle while a lot of them living good in the nice homes. But yet, the people that voted for them struggling right now. See what I'm saying? Can't even find food to eat. Think about it. Can't even find food to eat, man. You know what I'm saying? One thing though, in Jamaica, the religion strongly influenced Jamaican political messaging. You know what I'm saying? One thing about Jamaica though, because Jamaicans are very religious people. You know what I'm saying? They love the God. I don't give a damn if you're the biggest drunk in Jamaica. A lot of them quote the Bible. I'm telling you, like my father, for example, man. My damn father, may he rest in peace. The man, he could drink his ass off. But when it comes to knowing Bible scriptures, he knows the Bible scriptures, man. I remember back in the day, when I was young, he'd be doing his drinking and studying the Bible. That's what a lot of old school Jamaicans used to do back in the day. And ain't nothing funnier to me than seeing two drunk-ass Jamaicans arguing about a Bible verse. Drunk as hell. Arguing about a Bible verse. That's my father and my auntie's husband, man. Arguing about a Bible verse. Funny to me, man, when you see these two drunk Jamaicans. Well, he's from Bahamas, though. My auntie's husband was born in the Bahamas, but still a Caribbean, right? My brother was drunk as hell one time when we went to Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And we was there visiting my auntie and see them two. It was just funny to me. While the rest of us played dominoes or something. Yeah, it was just funny. Man. So churches, right, historically influenced moral and political national discussion, man. Religious values shape voter perspective regarding political leadership. Political tribalism still impacts Jamaica national unity today, right? Communities remain emotionally attached toward historical political loyalties, man. I tell you, because Jamaica had a lot of great history, dark history too, when it comes to slavery and all that, you know what I mean? The elections sometimes increase social tension throughout Jamaican neighborhoods, right? National healing requires cooperation beyond traditional political divisions, man. Because Jamaica shouldn't be divided, man. This, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to these damn politics, yeah, you can vote for whoever you want to vote for. You know what I mean? But shouldn't be divided. Because y'all divided against each other. But I don't give a damn what party is in power. I'm blaming both damn parties. I don't give a damn. I'm blaming Democrats. I'm blaming Republicans when stuff ain't right. Both of them. See what I'm saying? And we need to stop putting blame on the headpiece that like the President of the United States or the Prime Minister, right? We need to start putting blame on the people that's in power. The Parliament, Congress. That's what type of people we need to start blaming, man, when stuff ain't going right. See what I'm saying? Maybe things will change. if we take the blame off the president or the prime minister, I'll start putting blame on these people. Because think about it, a lot of these people, when they go in office, right, a lot of times they go in office for a lifetime commitment if they could keep winning votes, right? So we need to get rid of them. Get rid of those type of people, for real. Now, Jamaica's colonial and revolutionary history, right? Let's talk about Spain. Spain originally controlled Jamaica before British colonization. And I gotta be honest with you right now. I wish Spain would have kept Jamaica for at least for a while so we could learn, so we could be speaking Spanish today. Right? So we could be speaking Spanish today. That's why I think as a young kid, you know what I'm saying, Spanish really attracted me. The Spanish language attracted me because of that. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, right, the European empires fought aggressively over Caribbean territorial dominance. Because think about it, at one point, Jamaica was rich, especially in sugar cane and cane, right? With Jamaica, we still produce cane in Jamaica. You know what I'm saying? But Jamaica is supposed to be one of the richest islands out there. Colonization transformed Jamaica's population and economic system permanently, man. They come to Jamaica, they colonize Jamaica, those damn Europeans, those British, they come to Jamaica, rape the damn women, and then we have mixed babies and all that stuff, right? Colonize Jamaica, man, all this stuff. Indigenous populations suffered devastating consequences throughout foreign occupation, man. Slavery built Jamaica's early plantation economic system. Think about it, right? Enslaved labor are brutally inside sugar plantation industry. Sugar. Think about it, man. I saw like a little documentary on how back in the day how they would make sugar, man. Hot and very uncomfortable. That's all I gotta say. We're working in the sugar plantation all day. You burn your ass off. You know what I mean? Plantation owners accumulated enormous wealth through forced labor and exploitation. Resistance constantly emerged despite severe colonial punishment methods, man. I'm gonna tell you something right now. Jamaica, right, is one of the first islands to end slavery, to get out of slavery. Jamaica! Right, Caribbean island. No, that's a Caribbean island. Haiti was the first, right? Period. In the early 1800s, but Jamaica was actually in the Caribbean part. See what I'm saying? To end slavery. Now, let's talk about the Maroons a little bit. The Maroons fought British forces courageously, man. You gotta respect those Maroons for what they did. Right? They escaped slave, formed independent mountain communities. Resisting colonialism, guerrilla warfare, frustrated heavily armed British military forces, right? Think about this, right? You're in another people's land. You're from another country. And you think you're going to beat these people? And go, if you got to do hand-to-hand combat, man, you know what I'm saying? Get all the way to all the heavy artillery. They have just regular guns, right? And who you don't think those people that live in those countries are gonna beat? You're gonna beat your car. They know their country. They know where to go. They know right. There might be less people, but they know where to hide, where to get you. You know what I'm saying? Maroon victories inspired resistance movement across the Caribbean territories. Imagine though, you're a slave, right, from different territory, and cause you know back then, of course, there wasn't the internet. But think about it, right? You still travel back then. And imagine you're on a slave plantation and you hear about these damn Maroons and what they're doing. That has inspired a lot of slaves, man. You know what I'm saying? To try to escape. You know what I mean? That has inspired a lot of them. Jamaica gained independence during 1962 celebration, man. Yeah, they're one of the first to gain independence from England. Independence symbolized freedom from British colonial government, man. Control. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why this country was going to leave us alone. National pride increased throughout Jamaican community after independence. Well, I sat down on the phone recently, though, before the Queen died. Before she died, you know, she went to Jamaica. And a lot of Jamaicans wasn't feeling her. They kept booing her no matter where she went. Right there, why are people booing the Queen? This is the Queen of England. I was wondering. Then when I started doing a deeper dive, I didn't know that Jamaica, I don't know if they actually giving England money, but they're still doing things with England, like English, I don't know, like doing things with them, right? Even right now. You know what I'm saying? Just like how America had the Supreme Court, right? For things to happen, really, if somebody appeal a decision, right? It goes all the way up to the Court of England. What the hell the Court of England have to do with Jamaica, man? They should have to do with Jamaica. For real. Crazy to me. You know what I mean? Let them leave this damn island, let them do this thing. Unless they're going to take care of the poor people. Man, leave them here alone. Let them live their life. I mean, Jamaica developed strong national pride, right? All the good stuff, right? The Jamaican migration expanded culture throughout foreign countries globally, man. Right? And when Jamaica migrated to America, Canada, England, wherever, they're going to bring their culture. Wherever they go, our people are going to love it. The food, the music, all the good stuff. That's how powerful Jamaicans are, man. You know what I'm saying? Because no matter where they go, all of every black country in the world, right? Except for black Americans, right? Because black Americans go anywhere in the world and influence that part of the world. They can. It happened. I've been in South Korea and I've seen it. Germany, seen it. Right? But Jamaicans too, second behind. Right? They go anywhere, man. If you go to New York right now, and you see all Jamaican and Americans living together. You know what I'm saying? The Americans going there, going to the Jamaican clubs, they're buying the day, right there with the Jamaican restaurants around, buying the Jamaican food, all the good stuff. You know what I mean? Because Jamaicans influence the world, baby. For real. Rastafari, man. Right? Rastafari dreadlocks emerge, challenging colonial European culture, right? And the Rastafari started from Haile Selassie, a king in Ethiopia back in the 1950s. He was like an emperor of Ethiopia. You know what I'm saying? He influenced a lot of Jamaicans, old school Jamaicans back in the day, to go to the dreadlocks and all the good stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? While Jamaicans spoke the herb and all the good stuff, right? Society initially marginalized the Rastafari. True, though. Marginalized it big time. Right? Kind of my auntie, may she rest in peace, Aunt Kitty. I love my Aunt Kitty, right? But I got an uncle. He passed to me. He rest in peace. He loved his dreadlocks. And my auntie, you know, she's a very conservative woman. And she said, right, before you come visit me next time, this is she was in Jamaica. Make sure you cut off your dreadlocks. Because back then, you know what I'm saying, the old school Jamaicans, didn't like to see the youth at the time with dreadlocks. You know what I mean? I mean, time has changed now, of course. But back then, that's how it was, man. Right? You know what I mean? The dreadlocks, all that stuff. Rastafari, you know what I mean? All the good stuff, man. The food culture, right? Jamaican food culture reflects history, the struggle, and creativity. Enslaved ancestors transform limited ingredients into flavorful masterpieces, man. Flavorful masterpieces. Cooking traditions blended African, European, Indian culture influences, man. Cause I'm telling you, like in Jamaica and Indian and Spanish culture, right? Jamaica, Indian, and Spanish culture. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the food, a lot of us eat similar food, but they might cook their food a little bit differently, depending on where they're from, but a lot of food basically almost the same, man. Similar stuff, right? Which is good. Jerk, oh God. Talk about the jerk cooking, man, right? Maroons developed jerk seasoning. Think about the maroons. They developed the jerk seasoning while hiding within mountains safely. Slow cooking, preserved meat during dangerous colonial military conflicts, man. Smoky flavors attracted worldwide admiration from international food lovers. And then came ackee, and the saltfish became Jamaica's national dish. Ackee and saltfish with a fried dumpling? Oh, God. Oh, I love it. The ackee and saltfish, man, right? The Jamaican patty. I love my damn Jamaican patty. You know what I'm saying? This is just ground beef with all kind of great curry and spices. Those are mixed up into almost like a turnover. It's really good. Oxtail. Who don't love oxtail, right? Oxtail dishes represent the comfort food of Jamaica, man. Oxtails. Man, my wife was telling me the other day that she was going to buy some oxtail from the damn store a couple weeks ago. But it was so damn expensive, man. A small little pack now. It's like $35. The small pack got like three meats. You know, goddamn. Who the hell gonna buy three pieces of meat for $35? You crazy? No, man. I love oxtail, but not that much. It's better than $35 for three pieces of meat. Shoot. Crazy. Right? The curry goat reflects the Indian influence with Jamaica, man. Curry. Like I said, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? Indian workers introduced curry spices during colonial migration periods, right? Jamaicans cooks adapted the recipes, creating uniquely Caribbean flavorful dishes. Curry goat remains favorite celebration food during important gatherings. Jamaican food culture values seasoning and preparation deeply, right? Jamaican restaurant expanded throughout global immigrant communities. A lot of Jamaicans come to all over the world and create, I'm bringing the dagger Jamaican restaurant, man. Internet now, because of the internet, you see a lot of Jamaican bloggers now. You know what I'm saying? Asho Speed himself praised Jamaica food during his Caribbean tour. Millions watched live streams showcasing Jamaican restaurants and local meals. Online audiences suddenly discussed Jamaican cuisine across social platforms. Internet culture introduced younger generations toward authentic Caribbean lovers, man. Right? Caribbean flavors. I said lovers, right? But anyway, man, this was a little bit of Jamaican history, okay? And I really hope that you all enjoy the show. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.